Welcome to In the Loop Podcast, a podcast that is inspired by the Western culture and the rodeo industry. I am your host, Jordan Joe Hullabaugh, professional rodeo athlete, business owner, married to my best friend, full-time cowgirl, and I am blessed to get to do what I love to do each and every day. My goal is to promote this industry and specifically the sport of breakaway roping. On In the Loop Podcast, we are bringing you behind-the-scenes stories of what real life looks like every day, from cowgirls, cowboys, industry producers, leaders, trailblazers, you name it, we talk about it. We are sharing stories of this Western culture and the lifestyle that they live daily. Join me as we share these stories of the amazing triumphs, trials, and victories, defining moments that we all have along this journey of the amazing way of life that we live. You are officially in the loop. Let's get to it. Okay, guys, so today I am privileged to be here with Miss Tia DeGroft. We just worked on the pronunciation of that. Miss Tia, thank you so much for coming to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Quite an honor. Love listening to all these podcasts and what they're bringing to the Western world. So thank you for letting me be a part of that.
Well, and one of the things I'm so excited about is the leadership and women in the Western industry is so cool to me to see. Forever it being an industry, I think, that was thought of more of a cowboy industry. Mm-hmm. Now we have a mix of cowboys and cowgirls, which I think is so cool. And what an honor to bring that and glean the best of both worlds and bring that together to put into productions. You are the first female president ever to be on the Pendleton Roundup. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And one of three women that have ever been on the Pendleton Roundup board. And so that is so cool. Tell me, what is it like? What was the feeling when you got the call that you were the first women's president ever of Pendleton?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I have to say that our board has been so accepting of me the entire time. I think Jane Clark, who was the second woman on the board, sat with me for 2 years of my time. And other than that, it was just me and the boys. And they have never made me feel different, feel like an outsider, feel anything but part of the team. And so I was really blessed that way. And as my terms started coming to an end, you get 2 4-year terms as a director. As those started coming to an end, there was chatter. And I kind of thought, like, you know, it's such a storied tradition. It's such a iconic rodeo that's a lot of pressure. So I kind of started talking to my bosses and my real job about the time it would take. And, you know, is this something that could really come to fruition? And it just seemed like all the balls kind of lined up in my court. And then we have a nominating process. So I was the only nominee that the board brought forward. And I held myself together, but I did go home and have a good cry that evening, like tears of joy, just, you know, so honored. My dad was on the board of directors when I was a little kid, and he has since passed away. So I had a good conversation with him that evening, hoping that, you know, it's something that he would be proud of. So, and then of course, getting to when it came out after the vote happened, it's still kind of a secret until the stockholders ratify it. So keeping that in for a couple of months was hard. And then being able to kind of celebrate with my friends and family has been incredible.
And that's amazing. You know, I think as I sit here and think, it's such an honor. You know, I respect and honor all of the men that have went forward and paved this way, and that you are getting to stand alongside of these gentlemen that have done. Tradition is so rich in every rodeo, Western way of life, all of it. It's tradition. And there have been so many men that have went and paved the way and done the things. And there's women that have been alongside of them. And so I think it's so cool. I don't think it's one in front of the other. It's more of like, hey, we're standing together and let's see what we can get done here. And what an opportunity. I know the tradition with Pendleton is just rich. Like, as I'm sitting here going through your bio that my executive assistant that works full time for me has prepared, I'm so thankful. Her name is Taya. She is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so she's prepared all the stuff for me. I'm like, man, this girl has been so involved in Pendleton from the time she was little bitty. And that is something that I have found so true. You know I'm friends with Sydney and Randy Brocker that are huge. He was the president at Pendleton 3 years ago. And it's just tradition is so rich. So walk us through what it's been like and how you've been involved in Pendleton and how that ended up leading you to the role as the first female president.
Boy, hey, kind of since birth. As I mentioned, my dad was on the board of directors. So there we have a night show, which is called Happy Canyon. It kind of depicts the Oregon Trail and the pioneers coming across and, you know, some fights between them and the Native Americans and then a gold boom town coming. So when I was six, my dad went on the Happy Canyon board. I started volunteering in their show, but he always volunteered on the roundup side as well. So he would bring me to work parties and have me go around our track, which is a quarter mile long, big dirt track, but we're in a riverbed. So it's very rocky. So all the little kids would get a 5-gallon bucket and drag that around the track and pick rock. And that was how they would keep us busy. So I think that was probably my first official volunteer job. As I got a little bit older, we have pennant bearers that travel with their queen and court that carry the flags and parades. So I started doing that. And then eventually in 1999, I was named to the court. I was a princess. So you have to be princess first. And so then in 2001, I became queen, which was 9/11, happened during Roundup. Mm-hmm. So very interesting year to be queen. And I've had so many volunteer jobs between those, just helping directors where I could, of course, helping my dad with some of his duties. And then I moved away. I went to college, and it seemed the only time that I would come back to Pendleton was Christmas and Roundup. I went back to the East Coast and ran a sports marketing company when I was back there. Loved it. I still love sports marketing. So when I moved back to Pendleton, it just kind of seemed a natural fit to use my professional life to help better the community that I had come from. And a gentleman came up to me and asked if I'd be interested in being on our Hall of Fame board. And so went on the board for the Hall of Fame, was on that board for 4 or 5 years, became their president. And then they came over and said, well, now we have a spot in sponsors that we think you would be great at. Would you come over and look at the Roundup board? So I spent all 8 of my director years as the sponsor director, which was right in my wheelhouse when I had my sports marketing company. Sponsor and player relations is what I did. And I've kind of always in jobs after that have worked with sponsors. So natural fit for me. Absolutely loved it. Getting to meet some of the best people in the Western industry. And then that led us to last November when I was named president.
So through this, I am so intrigued, like all my squirrels are turning, because in the Western industry, I see that there's so much area for growth through marketing, yeah. Right? We have our own marketing company here. We are all in the website design, sponsor relations, social media management, all those things that led us to podcasting. And I see there's so much growth. So tell me a little bit about what you learned and some of the takeaways from your sports marketing company that you're now going to bring in and you've utilized through Pendleton.
Yeah. A lot of the time I was with the PGA Tour professional golf, and then kind of went into Ironmans and triathlons. When I moved home, then I was with the casino here buying sponsorships instead of fulfilling them. And now I work with Columbia Distributing, who is the local Coors distributor, and get to be involved in rodeos on the sponsor side as well. So I have seen sponsorships from all angles. And the interesting part in Pendleton, if you've ever been here, we don't have advertising in the arena. There aren't a lot of tangibles that we can offer sponsors outside of hospitality, banners outside of the arena, things of that nature. So it was a challenge in the most fun way to really sell the rodeo. And if I could get people to step on our property, they were sold. There's something about the electricity of Pendleton. If you're sitting in Seattle and I'm trying to tell you about the Pendleton Roundup, you have no clue what's going on. So I would always just say, come down, see what it's about. Let me entertain you for the week. And then we'll have this conversation about you coming in as a sponsor. And 9 times out of 10, after the first half an hour of them being on our property, they were like, we want in, we want to be involved. How can we do this? So it was really exciting, but trying to figure out what those packages were, what the hospitality would look like, how we could still get a return on people's investment, even though we don't talk about you in the arena. We don't have your banners in the grand entry. We don't have banners on our bucking chutes. Like the typical things you think of when you think of selling a rodeo sponsorship, we don't do any of those. So it was fun and creative for me. I really loved all of it.
You're like, challenge accepted. Yeah,
exactly. If you know me very well, I don't shy away from many challenges. So,
well, and one of the things I can attest to as a contestant, every morning of that slack, I'm even getting goosebumps right now. When you walk up through that tunnel, you smell the grass, you know, there's usually some type of activity going on, whether they're running the calves through or whatever. Yep. The atmosphere, the pressure, the excitement, all of the things. The stands, that is one of the only places that I have ever been to that the stands are jam-packed usually at 8 a.m. for the Slack.
Yeah.
It is just the atmosphere, like you said, it is electric there at Pendleton. And I feel like you see the Letterbuck Pendleton throughout the year. You know, I need to take some tips from you for In the Loop. I'm always like, are you in the loop? Get in the loop. And it's like mm-hmm. Pendleton, Letterbuck, you know, you see that all the time. And so what goes into that strategy as an organization, as a committee, as a rodeo? How do you try to keep Pendleton on people's minds throughout the year?
Well, we've been very fortunate that, you know, as you mentioned, the men that came before me had a vision. And honestly, every decision we make, we try not to make it for like what's going to happen in September. We think about when none of us are in the boardroom anymore. How is this decision going to impact the next generation? So they trademarked our bucking horse many, many years ago, which is one of the smartest things that we've ever done because it's become so iconic and everyone wants to put it on, you know, any kind of clothing or merchandise that they can find. So we have a lot of people that come to us for a trademark request. Some of those get approved, some of them don't. We have a whole committee that looks at what you're going to do with the trademark and how you're going to use it. But, you know, pretty obviously the best decision that we made was partnering with Ron Dodge and Pendleton Whiskey. My dad was on the board when that happened and it was a moment of, is this going to be good for Roundup? It wasn't an immediate yes. You know, they really wanted to think through, are we butchering the brand? We're putting it on alcohol. Is that going to offend people? You know, they were going to kind of lose control of where that horse goes. Ultimately decided that it was a good decision for the Pendleton Roundup. And as you see now, you know, they've really helped us carry the brand through not only the PRCA and the PBR, but they're the official spirit of the Minnesota Vikings football team. You know, they're getting us into markets that maybe hadn't heard of us before, especially down in Texas. I know at Fort Worth, they're all over the stockyards, which has been really, really wonderful for us. It's, you know, something that many other rodeos have tried to recreate. We would love to recreate with another brand. It just caught fire at the exact right time. We're very lucky. There's another Tia Bledsoe does the marketing for Pendleton Whiskey, and she always has our heritage and our best interest in mind. And so we know that, you know, the brand is safe with her. And she has obviously meetings with us quite a bit about, you know, this is their brand strategy and what they want to do. And are we on board with that? And how does that all align? So we have a lot of conversations about not only the horse, but the slogan Letterbuck. And then work closely with the Pendleton Woolen Mills as well, since they have a trademark on the name Pendleton. But I always like to say, if you have heard of Pendleton, it's one of three things. It's the whiskey, the blankets, or the rodeo. And we're all really entangled with each other.
Yeah, it's all intertwined right there. Well, and I love how you said the heritage. You know, it is like you, it's very recognizable. You guys have done an outstanding job with the brand. Like I said, I see it all over and I know everybody else does too, whether you are aware of it or not. Now you are.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the heritage and the tradition. I think that that's something that, you know, you touched a little bit on in your process of how you went up, you worked with your dad, and then now we're at the position that you're in. But how have you created as a community, and as a committee, as a rodeo, how have you kept that tradition so alive and healthy and well? And, you know, I know Sydney, her and I are good friends. And that's what last year she's like, well, I've got to go back for Roundup. And I said, it's just like, you can't miss it for 1 year. Oh, she was like, oh gosh, no, like, no, I have to be there. And so it's like you said, it's like Christmas and Roundup. That's what everybody in Pendleton lives for. So how do you guys create that and have kept that so alive and rich within your community?
You know, I think it kind of ties into everything that we do. Again, there's not a discussion that we have that isn't like, well, the tradition is, or, and, you know, I hate the, that's how we've always done it, so that's how we have to do it. But in a lot of times that makes sense for us. We've talked to other rodeos that say, you know, we kind of sold out to corporate America and, you know, obviously we're doing something right, winning our 10th large outdoor rodeo of the year this year. So we've kind of feel like we've found that secret sauce, but there's something, like you said, an electricity when you get here. And I think that boils down to every restaurant and hotel is so welcoming and it's, you know, Christmas in July for them, all of the, or in September, all the businesses really survive because of Roundup. Mm-hmm. We're mm-hmm. a town of 16,000 people, 3 hours from a major city. So any tourism that we get is really what we all live off of. And obviously it's the biggest event that comes to town. So, you know, all of the store owners, all of everyone has to buy in. The schools shut down so that kids can participate, and the playgrounds become campgrounds. So everyone really touches the Roundup. And then we have 1,200 volunteers. They come from all over, but the majority of them are here. And once they kind of get bitten by that bug, they're our best supporters and fighters. You know, we get people all the time like, did you see that somebody's using our trademark? I don't think they have approval. And it comes from, you know, community members. And so we're just very lucky that between our volunteers and our community, and then what our past directors did in our bylaws and in our policies and procedures to protect, you know, we're going to have the wooden bucking chutes and that long run for the timed events and the grass in the arena, no advertising in the arena. Like, those are hard and fast non-negotiables for us. And I think that that is kind of what has kept that small town feel at a really large event, that people come here and it's not, you know, Cheyenne is an incredible rodeo. We're very different now, just the way that we operate. And I think, you know, you can put us up against any of those other big rodeos and we're just different, which is what makes us special.
I agree. And I think that that makes you stand apart too. And I feel like in society that that's something that we've really seen is it is very scary to be different. It is very scary to be set apart, but we're called to be set apart. We're called to be different. Right. And I think that having the confidence and the courage to keep that tradition different, it really does. It sets you apart, and you are well known for all of your traditions, even being different. And so I encourage everybody to take that and mold it to yourself as well. Right. It's like, it's a little scary not to kind of go with the crowd, but then you're known for the grass. You're known for the, like you said, you're either known for the bucking horse or the blankets or the rodeo. And so all of those things stick out, but you're not like anybody else, but you're all, I just think that that's very, very special and something I just applaud you on. I'm like, okay, how can I take notes here and apply this to myself and everybody around me?
It's challenging. I mean, obviously sponsor dollars speak volumes and we would love to have those sponsor dollars, but we just have to find the people who believe in us and believe in our brand. And, you know, once, like I said, once they're here and they see it and the light bulb kind of goes on of what the bigger picture is, they're invested. But, you know, up front when they're like, well, you want how many thousands of dollars from us and you're not going to put our banner in the arena, and then you're talking crazy. Yeah. And, you know, so there's,
did you bump your head?
There's been many, many times when we thought like, you know, are we doing this right or wrong? And like I said, there are non-negotiables. That advertising is never going to change, but down to the smallest decisions of, you know, are we doing this correctly? And we're purchasing property around our building. We built a new retail store, and, you know, that's a big chunk of money for a nonprofit rodeo to bite off. But with the popularity of our brand, we needed a bigger retail store. That gamble paid off. It, you know, now we can have a bigger online presence. It was right before COVID when everything shut down. So, you know, it really was a gamble that paid off. But every decision we make goes back to, you know, does that fit who Pendleton is? And and just like you said, in your life in general, you have to find the people who, you're not everybody's cup of tea. You know, you got to find your people and the people who believe in you and are kind of marching down the same road you are. And that will help you become the best you. So
I agree 100%. That leads me to my next question. I want to talk a little bit about your ambition. And this is Taya got me this question for Tia. How did you come about to be where you're at? I know that you had a certain dream when you were a little girl. Tell us what that dream job was for you and kind of how you've evolved from there.
Well, I think my very first dream, you know, we idolized the queen in court here. So as a very small girl, I just thought being the queen of the Pendleton Roundup has to be the greatest thing that has ever happened to anyone. So I kind of think that was, you know, my first dream. And then I really got into, I'm a very social person and my teachers always told me I talk too much. So I was trying to find a job that allowed me to talk for a living and not get in trouble for it. But I
me
also
too. That's why I started a podcast.
There you go. Exactly. You find what you're good at and stick with it. I also needed to be around happy people. at one point wanted to be an attorney and worked in a law office, and no one's excited to go to their attorney's office. And especially I was with a divorce and custody lawyer. And so I really needed to be with happy people. And so I started thinking about that, and it really led me to sports and sports marketing. And I wanted to go through college. I thought, I'm either going to work for the PRCA or the NFL. That's like non-negotiable. That's what I'm going to do. Kind of had my opportunity with both, and it wasn't the right fit for the job. And I ended up in golf, which no one in my family golfed. I didn't know the first thing about golf. I still don't play golf. Kind of a funny thing. But, you know, once I came back to Pendleton, I always thought it would be so cool to be on the board. I idolized my father, idolized him. Everything he did, I was such a daddy's girl. Everything he did, I wanted to be a part of. And so I always thought like, oh, it'd be so awesome to be on the board. But at the time, no women had ever done it. And Heather Hales Corey, who is one of my best friend's mom, was the first woman that came on the board. And she, I have no doubt if she were alive today, she would have been the first female president. She was an incredible woman. But, you know, I kind of started thinking like, maybe this is a possibility. And then I don't ever set my sights small. So it wasn't just like, I want to be on the board. It was like, well, maybe I can be president. And, you know, it was at the time way off in left field. It was like I said, there hadn't even been women on the board. So I think the goals kind of evolved and the right steps came about. Maybe I manifested it somehow as much as I talked about it, but I used the Roundup as my senior thesis in college about marketing ideas that they can come up with. I mean, it's been such an ingrained part of my life that it's really been every part of my life. And, you know, you get 2 1-year terms. I have to be reelected in November to come back as president, and then you're done. And I'm a little terrified for that moment. I don't know. I'm certain I will be off on another venture somewhere, but there's not, you know, I'll always be a volunteer and I'll always have the Roundup at heart, but I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do with myself. Once my time on the board is over, it's such a big commitment, a busy commitment that I think after my time as president, I'm a little nervous for what's next. So the wheels are turning and the gears are always turning about, like you said, my ambition. I think I get that from both of my parents. Both of them were very goal-oriented people. So I've already started to look, whether that's, you know, a year down the road or 2 years down the road, of kind of what's next. But it will be something in the rodeo industry. I love the people. I love what it stands for. I love everything about it. So I am sure the next big ambition is out there somewhere. If you have a job and you need me, let me know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. He is looking for a job in 2 years. Well, you know, I mean, don't say that too loud because yeah. I mean, I'm always looking. So, yeah. So I want to dive into this a little bit deeper. A few things that you said that I really loved. Sure. First of all, you planted the seed and you manifested your dream. And I want to ask you, you know, woman to woman, you are obviously a leader within the industry. You've navigated waters that it's very scary to be the first. It's very scary to be the third, even on the board, but obviously the first. And especially in an industry that I feel like in the past has been more of a male-dominated industry.
Sure.
So exciting that you get to stand alongside of these men that have accomplished so much. How, if you were going to shed some light on women that are listening, that maybe like some of the tactics, some of the things you use to become a part of it, how are you dealing with this as a woman, as a leader? What are some of the things you can share with the rest of us as we rise up in this industry and we want to start to be a part of more of these places and positions?
Yeah. Put yourself out there and become uncomfortable. You know, Pendleton has been a leader in a lot of things. We were the first to name a female president, first major rodeo to have a female president. Reno also named one this year, which is incredible. So I think, you know, the momentum's there. When I got to Las Vegas last year for the national finals, I was really embraced by the media and by other rodeo committees. So I'm thrilled if I can fly that flag and be that person to kind of open doors and make people see that we are capable. Like I said, my board has never made me feel anything but. So it's a little hard for me to say that I did X, Y, and Z because my board has never made me feel like I needed to do anything other than what they were doing, what I was doing. But I think the biggest thing is to believe in yourself. I mean, honestly, I look at things all the time in my life about what I want to do and where I want to go and what I want to be next. And I never let myself think, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not a man, so I can't do that. I mean, certainly I'm probably not going to play in the NFL. You know, I'm not a man. I'm not a tough person. I'm kind of a weenie. So, you know, those things aren't going to happen. But if it comes to a leadership role or a position you want, put yourself out there and go for it. And, but you know, I've also really lined myself up for things. If, you know, my goal was to be Roundup Queen, I started volunteering for the Roundup. I wanted people to know who I was. I wanted to know them. I wanted to know the ins and outs of the Roundup. And then the goal grew from there to be on the board. So, you know, if you want to break into the Western industry, start putting yourself out there. Every rodeo needs a volunteer. You know, it's kind of like the old adage, you don't just like pick up a rope and become Jackie Crawford. You know, you have to put that rope in your hand a lot of times. And that means mm-hmm. you're going to have to find mentors that can teach you how to rope. And that means in your free time, you're going to have a rope in your hand and you're going to have to know how to ride and all the things that go into anything. It takes a lot of practice and, you know, you can't always practice in the business world, but you know, I've volunteered for a lot of different charities and a lot, you know, I've worked in a lot of different sports and put myself in positions with my job that if they needed overtime or an extra person to go do something, you know, I can always learn from, I was in sponsorship sales, but I could learn from the operations team and I could learn how to do something better. So during a rainstorm, I was out there in my skirt and heels with a shovel diverting water, doing what the ops team was doing to try to be helpful and, but also to learn what goes into this. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't think that you're going to come move to Pendleton and be on the rodeo board and you've never volunteered, you've never watched it, you've never been a part of it, you know, so you kind of have to do the work to align yourself with the goals, but I would say never shy away from it. There's no dumb questions. Find yourself a mentor. I meet with a lot of young ladies, most of them with ambitions to be on the court, but a lot of times they get off the court and they say, okay, now I need a job and you've been successful in your career. How can I get there? You know, I absolutely love my favorite part of my life is when a young lady calls me and says like, do you have time for a cup of coffee? I don't even say what is this about? I just, yes, let's go have a cup of coffee. And like, mm-hmm. it might be, I mean, I am single, so probably not relationship advice that you want from me, but I'll help you. I mean, I have been through a lot of things that I can tell you what you don't want. I don't know that you can ever have too much of an inquisitive nature. Like, put yourself out there and go dive in and find out what it's really about and find some women or men for that matter. I mean, I sat down with a lot of gentlemen to ask, mm-hmm. you know, what should I be doing? How can I do this better? I'm big on constructive criticism. So I'm giving this my best, but is there something more you need from me?
Absolutely agree 100%. All of the things that I've most reaped benefits or rewards from have been where I put myself in total conditions where I was so uncomfortable, vulnerable, had no idea, didn't know how it was going to turn out, scared to death most of the time. And I'm like, I don't know why, but something inside of me says I got to do this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that has been the most beneficial thing that I could have done. Mentors, huge. And I love how you said, yes, women, most certainly, but also men. You know, one of the things my husband has really taught me, and I love him for it, they don't say, they're not like us. They don't say anything that they don't mean. You know, they're not going to give you a compliment. If they don't think your hair looks good, they're not going to tell you.
Right.
When they do give you a compliment or they do give you advice or they do say something, it is truly what they mean. And for me, and I want to ask you this question, I have had to teach myself to have a different perspective going into these conversations, removing all emotions and truly putting myself and saying, here's my goal. Here's what I want to accomplish. You know, okay, now let me ask these questions and listen, receive, and apply that to moving forward to what I want to do in my end goal.
Yeah. And I think, you know, rodeo has become a business. It's so few of our conversations in the boardroom are about what happens in the arena in September. Trust me, we have those, especially, you know, there's changes to the barrel racing coming out and when we brought breakaway in and, you know, just everyday rodeo things that we have to talk about. But so much of it is a business that a lot of my mentors don't have anything to do with the sport of rodeo. One of the greatest mentors in my life right now owns a meat processing plant in Pendleton. He makes incredible bacon. If you ever see Hill Meat Bacon out in the market. But he has failed so many times in order to succeed. You know, cashed in his 401k, took out loans. He had small kids at home and kind of had no business doing what he was doing, but he believed in himself and knew his skill set, that now he is a highly successful businessman. And I love to just sit down with him and talk about, like, how did you get there? How did you believe in yourself, you know, in business situations? He's always telling me about acquisitions they're doing and growth that they're accomplishing. And I can take those little nuggets and apply them, like I said, to my real job at Columbia Distributing or to the Pendleton Roundup or just to Tia DeGroft as fundamentally as a person. Yeah. That then is like, am I doing that right in life? And, you know, again, I'm single, I'm in my 40s. So it's like, am I investing correctly? And so I'll start talking to people about like investment strategies. And I'm just a naturally inquisitive person, but that leads me to goals to become a better person, I think.
If you were going to give somebody that's listening a couple words of advice on how do you believe in yourself? You know, we hear that a lot. Believe in yourself, believe in yourself. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, got it. How do you apply that? How do you make it into something that is real and tangible? And you're like, okay, I am actually starting to believe in myself.
I hate the like fake it until you make it. But I think, you know, part of that is true, that you just have to give yourself a pep talk to put your big girl pants on and like, okay, I can do this. And then the more you achieve those goals, the more it's easier to believe in yourself. You know, there's the old adage to start with like making your bed in the morning. You've accomplished something, like, good on me. I made my bed this morning, and kind of check that box. And then the more little things that you start telling yourself you're going to do and actually accomplishing, it's easier to believe in yourself that then you can accomplish the big things too. But I'm really into self-growth. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I read a lot of books. You know, some of them are really cheesy, but most of the time you can take like one little nugget. And so I'll get on, hear something on a podcast and kind of ruminate on that for a week or 2 weeks, or, you know, hear it and forget about it. And then it comes back to me when I'm out on a walk in the afternoons. That's what's in my ear, is kind of those, like, it doesn't come naturally. I'm not the person who looked in the mirror and said like, you are perfect, girl. I'm not her. And I first faced a lot of adversity in my life that should make me think the opposite. I was blessed with very incredible parents that told me that I could do anything I set my mind to. And I think I have just day by day kept those promises to myself. But I also think it's hard. I look in the mirror and just see a girl from Pendleton, Oregon. I don't see, you know, the first female president in the rodeo community, or gosh, I've done this and I've done that. And I've had some really incredible accomplishments, and I still don't see that. I, in fact, just got a text message yesterday from a dear friend of mine that was like, if you don't see how incredible you are and what you're doing, like, we need to chat. And I was like, I don't think it's natural to look in the mirror and think like, I've done it all. Like, there's mm-hmm. so much more that I want to do. And I think that keeps me kind of motivated and grounded, really. But when you really stop and think about it, everybody has done great things in your life. You know, maybe you've raised wonderful children. Maybe you have succeeded in your career. Maybe you raise great breakaway horses. I mean, everybody has something. Maybe it was just that you were a nice person that day and it was a really bad day and it was hard to be a nice person to someone who kind of rubbed you the wrong way. But, you know, you look at those little increments of things. And I think once you start to be grateful for what you have and what you've done, and, you know, I got up today and I had a warm house and I have an able body and I was able to do that. Like, I am very grateful for that. And that helps you then be grateful for the big things and step into being able to do bigger things for yourself.
I love that. And I think that is great, tangible advice. You know, I love hearing you as I'm listening, I'm hearing you say, you know, there were so many pieces to the puzzle to get you where you are. And you did not do this alone. And I just am so receiving of your humble heart. And I think that that is why you are where you are today, because you have humility, you have a grateful heart, and you're including everybody around you, you know. And I think the more that I learn and the more I'm in this industry, you know, at the end of the day, for me, it's more about how you approach people and what, you know, maybe you were just somebody that needed to listen that day, or maybe, you know, you needed to smile at them or whatever, you know. It's more important how you make people feel than when you leave there, than really all the things that you accomplish. And I think that that's something that I always leave there being like, man, I was here today for maybe for that reason, not for this reason. So I think that's pretty cool.
I also think too, don't harp on your failures. I don't believe in failures. Like, you learn something from every time you fail, and 100%. Some of them cut a lot deeper and you fall a lot farther and they hurt pretty bad. But, you know, I applied for the board before I was named to the board. I tried out for Queen in 2000 and I didn't get it. I got it in 2001. Again, I've had relationships that don't work out, but you learn how to be a better person and what you can change and what you can do better. And it just sets you up for success in the next one. So that would be my other thing, is don't be afraid to fail. Cause find me a millionaire out there, or a successful business out there, or really just a person out there who hasn't failed, and I will show you a liar. Like, every single one of us fails incredibly.
Well, and I think too, that it's just knowing, how do you make that stuff work for you? That's the perspective I've tried to take. Like, instead of running from my failures, which I have millions of them, you know, creating that fear, that anxiety, that shame, blame, that whole game that comes with that. It's like, okay, here it is. Oh gosh, let's bring it out. And how can I use this to work for me? Like, how can I get better from this? And that has really helped and changed my perspective on a lot of things. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. And
yeah, so, it's just a redirection. You just need to take a different look and you know, God isn't rejecting
you. He's redirecting. Amen. Amen. For sure on that. So what does it look like? What are some of your expectations? The hype that you're looking for this year within Pendleton and your role as president?
I'm just so excited to take it all in. I'm naturally a people person. I actually feel like I should be doing more and be busier as sponsor director. I was really busy this time of year getting all the sponsors signed up. And so I feel like, what should I be doing? But I'm really excited for the ability to take it all in and to visit with people. I love seeing Roundup through fresh eyes. And a lot of what the president gets to do Roundup week is entertain people. So we have dignitaries that come in or VIPs that come in, and I get to show them around and kind of see Roundup through their eyes for the first time. I'm very excited about that. And I'm so passionate about it that we're taking some trips this year. We're going to go up to the Calgary Stampede. I'm headed down to Fort Worth here shortly. There's, you know, we're getting to do a lot of things this year that I'm just so excited to spread the word about Pendleton and kind of share my love for it. And really the rodeo industry in general, like I mentioned, the media has been incredible with this title, and the rodeo community has really embraced it. And so I'm very excited to put the Western industry and rodeo on this new platform and be able to kind of fly the flag and fly the flag for women. I think when they introduce the president, it's during our grand entry and I get to do a lap. So it'll be incredible to be back out on the track. But I think that energy I'm really excited to feel, because I know how many people are so supportive, and the women out there, I think it's going to be pretty electric. So
I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Are you coming this year?
I am coming this year. I've been there every year. You know, I haven't had the year I've wanted to at Pendleton yet, but it's getting closer every time. This is it. I will be there. So following up, I have one question that I ask everybody that comes on my show that's new. So you're a newbie. So I hope to have you back.
Oh, I would love that.
You can't get this question twice. I'll give you something else. But I do have a question. So if you had to go back and give younger Tia a piece of advice, what is that piece of advice and why?
Everything works out the way it's supposed to. I was really bullied in elementary school and then again in high school. I've had, you know, some great failures and some great successes, but I'm a real sensitive person and I take everything to heart and I hate knowing anyone's upset with me. And I, you know, hate losing friendships or relationships or business deals or any of those kind of things that are like an interpersonal connection. I really take to heart. And younger Tia always thought like, what's wrong with me? Why is this not working out? Fundamentally, what is wrong with me? And I think 44-year-old Tia sitting in this chair can look back on all of those instances where I was laying on the floor hysterically crying or whatever it may be. Yeah. All of those instances, I can look back now and think I'm a better person for it. I learned from it. I grew from it. The people who are meant to stay in your life, stay in your life. Life works out exactly how it is meant to be. And so, you know, kind of maybe stay in the present instead of getting so far out ahead of, you know, I would play a lot of games with myself about like, oh, this is never going to work out. Like 5 years down the road, this is what's going to happen. Well, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 5 years down the road. So it all works out the way it's supposed to.
I love that. And I just want to say thank you for being, you know, authentic about that and vulnerable about that. I think that, you know, I was bullied in middle school and high school. I always felt like, why don't people like me? Why don't I have any friends? Like, what is the deal? What is going on? And, you know, I think that we don't talk enough about that as women, you know, and I think it's so neat to see the story behind these amazing women that have gotten there and not to use it as a crutch by any means. Like, yeah. I am not using it as a crutch. I grew from it and I'm thankful for it, just like you are. But it's true, you know, and not every woman in a place of leadership or any of those things, it's not been an easy road, but if you used it for you and for your better. So I love that story. And I appreciate you for telling us that.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, it's one of my great joys in life to be able to share that with people and hope that, you know, it resonates with somebody and it helps make their journey a little bit easier. And so thank you for giving me a chance to do that.
I'm very excited. Well, thank you so much for joining us on In the Loop today. I can't wait to run down the grass in the hill. I mean, it makes me so nervous, but oh my gosh, I'll be there again. And so thank you so much for coming on this podcast. Can't wait for Pendleton Roundup 2024. First ever female president. Congratulations again. And we will see you down the road.
I look forward to it. Let her buck.
Let her buck.